I'm Rick Ganley. This is NHPR News.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. The latest New England economic forecast shows more slow, unimpressive growth for the region in the next few years. That's according to a report by the New England Economic Partnership, which examines gross domestic product and employment trends in the region as a whole, as well as the differences among the six states. For example, many times in years past, its forecasts have shown New Hampshire leading the pack economically, but this year that distinction goes to Vermont. The report expects the Green Mountain State to show the fastest growth in employment, the highest rise in home prices, and the lowest jobless rate. The Granite State, it says, will still fare relatively well on these measures, better than Maine or Rhode Island, for example. But the partnership does highlight specific concerns about New Hampshire's economic future, especially demographic and employment trends that it says threaten the New Hampshire advantage. Today in The Exchange, a New Year's economic forecast. Join us with your own economic outlook for 2013. How well do you think you'll be doing personally? What's your guess for how strong the state's overall economy will be? And if you're an employer, do you expect to hire this year or not? What are some of the factors influencing that decision? Give us a call. Tell us what you think. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org. Post a comment on our Facebook page or on the Exchange page at nhpr.org. With me in studio, Ross Cattell, Chancellor of the New Hampshire Community College System and Vice President and Forecast Manager for the New England Economic Partnership. And Ross, good to see you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you and good to be here, Laura.
Also with us, Dennis DeLay, New Hampshire Forecast Manager for the New England Economic Partnership and an economist at the New Hampshire Center for Public Policy Studies. And Dennis, happy New Year to you too, and thanks for your time.
Good morning, Laura. Thanks for having me here.
Well, and Dennis, I want to start with you. The words you use in your description of the numbers that the partnership looked at, uncertainty, lackluster. Is it really that bad, Dennis?
In relative to what we've seen in past recoveries, yes, it is. New Hampshire's job growth really looks like it's about stalled at this point. We've seen actual declines in the last month, for which we have data of about 1,000 jobs or so compared to a year ago. So the New Hampshire economy is really having some difficulty, I think, pulling itself out of this recession. And there are a couple of reasons, I think, for that, which we can get into as we talk through the hour.
Sure. And Ross, you know, looking again at those words, lackluster and so forth, maybe I'm living in a bubble, but, you know, when I went shopping at Christmas time, the parking lots were full. I went to the movies over the weekend. The movie theater was packed. It doesn't feel that bad out there.
Yeah, I mean, what people focus on, what we focus on in our discussions as economists is employment. And employment growth and job recovery from the decline during the recession. And we look at the unemployment rate. Mm-hmm. And Dennis really tells the story there. It's been stagnant. It's been flat. Very different experience than New Hampshire coming out of previous recessions, where New Hampshire has recovered stronger than the other New England states and stronger than the U.S. average. And now that's not the case. And one reason is businesses across the country, this is nationally, are reluctant to hire people until they're more confident that the economic recovery has a stronger foundation. And going into the holiday season and even till, December 31st or was it January 2nd, we weren't sure what was going to happen with regards to the fiscal, so-called fiscal cliff. So businesses were reticent to hire workers because, you know, what happens if we go over that fiscal cliff and I've just hired a worker and I'm going to have to lay off that worker? So I think we need in New Hampshire, we need in the U.S., a more feeling of certainty about public policy nationally and about dealing with the fiscal situation there before businesses are going to start hiring again. And in New Hampshire, and I think we'll get into this in more details, there's also somewhat of a mismatch between those who continue to be unemployed which is a relatively low percentage of our total population, about 5.6 compared to 7.8 nationally. But those people who are unemployed and been unemployed for an extended period of time, a lot of those people don't have the appropriate skills for the employers who want to start hiring. So that contributes to the stagnation and the continued, for New Hampshire, relatively high unemployment rate.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dennis.
I was just going to say, I don't think you can underemphasize the so-called policy missteps that we've had so far, and a lot of them associated with the whole fiscal cliff discussion, which, if you recall, it almost seemed like we got to the second Tuesday in November and figured out who the president was going to be, and immediately we started talking about the fiscal cliff, and that consumed not only policy discussions, but frankly, the national news right through to the end of the year until we did something about it. I had business people tell me, on Wednesday or Thursday of that week, that second week in November, that they had already cut back on plans.
Really?
I talked to some community bankers and they were saying, we don't really know what to do. You know, we have people that might be thinking about selling their business. They don't know whether to do it now, in 2012 or wait till 2013, depending upon what the tax situation is. I talked to a real estate developer in Manchester who said he had been to 3 meetings that day. This was on Thursday after the Tuesday. And, in every one of those meetings, the people that he were dealing with said they were just going to cut back. What we were going to do, we're only going to do a third of that.
Wow. Well, and if people want to join us with their own economic outlook, their own stories, like the ones that you related, Dennis, again, the phone number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. If you've got comments or thoughts about how strong or weak you think New Hampshire's economy will be this year, we'd love to hear from you. Some of the factors that you're weighing as you look at your own decisions to hire, to cut back, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. So, Ross, they fixed the fiscal cliff, right? I mean, they at least came to some sort of a temporary patch up. So shouldn't everybody be feeling happy and running out and hiring new workers?
Well, they didn't fix the fiscal cliff. They came to some very temporary solution, and it was just focused on the tax side and the revenue side, which has a significant impact on the New Hampshire and the national economy, hasn't been resolved. So where are there going to be cutbacks, and then will there be further changes to tax policies, and how will that affect business investment and business outlook? And it sort of pushed out some of the more difficult decisions. So we avoided, the nation avoided the worst aspects of the fiscal cliff. And there was some restoration of confidence, and we saw that last week in the stock market performance, that it seemed like investors were saying, well, there was some resolution, and we didn't really go full speed over the fiscal cliff. And I think there is some confidence that maybe Obama, along with the congressional leadership, and particularly the Senate Republicans, will be able to come to some resolution that will help the economy. And once that's done, we really should see some decent growth in New Hampshire and in the U.S. if there's some more complete resolution of the fiscal discussions. We could see a relatively strong, compared to the previous 4 years, strong end of 2013. And then it would start looking more like a normal recovery in 2014. And the question in New Hampshire is, how much will we grow coming out of that recovery? Because as Dennis mentioned earlier, we've had experience in New Hampshire coming out of the past three recessions of pretty strong growth. And what we should be thinking about in New Hampshire now is how to position ourselves so we could grow strong when the fiscal discussions get resolved and the U.S. economy starts to improve significantly.
And again, the way the fiscal cliff – well, first of all, if you sort of parse out what was the fiscal cliff, the $600 billion impact that was going to happen to the U.S. economy come the first of the year or the end of last year, about two-thirds of that was taxes. So in other words, big increases in taxes, which would slow economic growth. About a third of it was spending. The so-called sequesterization.
Automatic spending cuts.
Automatic spending cuts. Now, those were kicked down the road two months into March, because we'll be talking about them again when we start to get into discussions of raising the debt ceiling, or default ceiling is probably a better way to put it. So in 2 months from now, we know we're going to have another set of discussions. Hopefully, they won't be as pernicious and obdurate and any other word you want to use as they were in 2011, which really, again, caused, a significant crisis, at least crisis of confidence relative to business confidence and confidence in the overall economic outlook for the U.S. Because, again, there was discussion at that point about whether the U.S. was going to go bankrupt or not, whether it would be able to fulfill its obligations. There was one rating agency in the summer of 2011 which lowered the credit rating for the U.S. If we go through all of that again in March, that's going to have a big impact, I think, on economic outlook.
Well, and one more question about this, guys, and then I want to focus in on the report that you put out a couple weeks back. So, Russ, it's so easy to hear about the fiscal cliff and the back and forth and think that that's just all, you know, inside the Beltway shenanigans. How does that affect us on the ground here in New Hampshire?
Okay. Well, it affects us on the ground. New Hampshire will be, the economy, at least short term, will be negatively impacted by the changes, well, the tax settlement, let's call it, coming out of at the end of the last year, where there was the income tax for the top 1% or those earning over 400,000 individually or 450,000 as a family, that their tax rate was changed. And New Hampshire happens to be a high per capita income state. And so the tax rates on the highest income earners in New Hampshire will go up. They'll spend more tax money going to Washington. They'll have less tax money that will be spent in New Hampshire, and that will have multiplier effects on the economy. So that's why in projections about the impact, the negative impact of going over the fiscal cliff, New Hampshire was one of the states that was seemed to be more adversely affected than the U.S. average because of this high per capita income. Well, the spending, as Dennis said, has not been resolved.
Yeah.
The spending is a different side. And on the spending side, New Hampshire wouldn't be affected as much as other states because we have relatively low amount of federal dollars coming into our state per capita. So right now what's been done, raising the tax rates for the highest income groups, affects disproportionately a relatively high income state that, like New Hampshire, where more in-state dollars go out of state to the national government and spending gets reduced in New Hampshire. And I really preface this by saying short term it's going to have a negative impact on the New Hampshire economy because that's less dollars recycling in New Hampshire. Longer term we have to see the full package.
All right. And we will start taking your calls, questions, and comments in a few minutes. The number for you to join us here in the Exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Keep it right here.
This is NHPR 919. Good morning, and more on the uncertainty of the economic front for New England and New Hampshire on the Exchange. Then a 10 on the Diane Rehm Show, an update on efforts to prevent gun violence. NHPR announces our new Justice and Journalism Speakers Series. It's a joint project with the UNH School of Law. Our first speaker will be Dina Temple-Raston, NPR's counterterrorism correspondent. She'll be discussing the national security beat and her recent trip to Pakistan. Join us at the law school in Concord January 16th at 5:30. Tickets are free, but you have to reserve your seat at nhpr.org. Support for NHPR comes from UR members, and support also comes to us from the NEEF Network Organizations, a statewide leader assisting students and parents planning for college. Information at nhheaf.org. And Dartmouth Hitchcock, providing online health tools and podcasts for a healthier New Hampshire. Information at dartmouthhitchcock.org. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, it's a New Year's economic forecast, and we want to hear from you. Join us with your own economic outlook for 2013. How well do you think you'll be doing at a personal level? What's your guess for how strong the state or the region will be economically in the new year? And if you're an employer, we'd like to hear from you. Do you expect to hire this year or not? What are some of the factors that you're looking at in making that decision? Give us a call. Tell us what you think. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org, or post a comment on our Facebook page or on the Exchange page at nhpr.org. Again, that number, 1-800-892-6477. Our guests are Ross Gattell and Dennis DeLay, both with the New England Economic Partnership, which just before 2012 closed out, put out its forecast for 2013. And gentlemen, before the break, we talked a lot about the fiscal cliff and all the negotiations going on in Washington and how that affects our economy here in New England and in New Hampshire. Let's look now at some of the more local and regional factors. And Dennis, to you, we've talked many times over the years about how New Hampshire's job growth outpaces other states around the country.
Right.
New Hampshire is the leader in New England in terms of job growth and economic growth and so forth. You say in this report, not anymore.
Well, and again, that's based on what's happened in the last couple of years and what's likely to happen in the next few years. A lot of what New Hampshire's economic growth is based on in-migration into the state. And that slowed in part as a result of the bursting of the housing bubble, with people locked up in their homes, not able to move easily from one place to another. That hurts a state like New Hampshire, which has traditionally had net in-migration of people. Now, if people are not able to migrate from one place to another, again, that puts a limit on people's ability to take advantage of economic opportunity. So that's the first thing. But even before the Great Recession hit us in 2008, we had been seeing a slowdown in migration into New Hampshire. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that New Hampshire's population is aging. We're all getting older, and that has lots of implications, not only for healthcare costs and other things, but in terms of how the population is structured and what the population thinks of is their priorities. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. And then the third thing is that these related to the other two, a lot of our increase in educational attainment in New Hampshire came as a result of people moving into the state that were highly educated, highly skilled. And if that slows down or reverses, which it seems to be right now, that's got implications for New Hampshire's ability to be competitive in the future. So it's a lot of it is tied to housing, and a lot of it's tied to in-migration into the state. And I think that's why we're seeing a much slower growth picture for New Hampshire right now than we have in the past.
Interesting. And just a quick question on the aging. We've done a lot of shows on, you know, the so-called silver tsunami and New Hampshire aging more rapidly than many other states, Ross. So if that's a fact of life, how do you work around that? I mean, you can't just sit there and say boo-hoo.
Well, first I'm going to challenge that a little bit.
Really?
As far as our demographics being such an economic liability right now. You know, we have the third highest concentration of baby boomers in the nation. And the baby boom generation, where I think we're all part of sitting in this room, the peak year of the baby boom was 1957. So that person who was born in the peak year of the baby boom is 55. I think a lot of those people who are 55 are very productive and in some of their prime, economic contribution years. And I don't think demographics and immigration is economic destiny for New Hampshire, because before, during those recoveries from recessions, what we benefited from in the skill matching for the labor market and the growth in employment was people moving here from elsewhere. And now with the demographics and people locked into their housing nationally and New Hampshire not being able to draw from the same demographic pool as during the baby boom maturation period, when people moved here from Massachusetts and New York and Pennsylvania, those states are aging also. So what we have to do is really focus on our own population. And instead of relying on people from elsewhere to move in, highly educated and highly skilled, we have to work more on educating and upgrading the skills of our own. And that's what we're doing at the community college system of New Hampshire. That's what they're doing at the university system of New Hampshire. That's why investment in education, K through 16 plus, is very, very important for the economy and for employment growth in the state of New Hampshire. So I don't think the demographics that Dennis describes very well in details is economic destiny for New Hampshire, but we have to rely on a different approach to skilling up and educating our population. We can't rely on educated people to move into the state and provide the skilled labor for industry. We have to do it on our own. I think we're very capable of that.
Well, and that's you, Ross, putting on your other hat. Again, your forecast manager.
Well, I'm also
for the
keeping my economist hat on longer term, and that's why I think the board – of trustees of the community college system was interested in having me in my position is because that I've been pretty consistent over my 20 years as an economist of the state of New Hampshire on this policy.
You know, this, again, is an area where Ross and I obviously disagree. And let me just use a very simple analogy. People move at different stages of their lives. You know, in the early, you know, when you're in your 20s, 30s, and maybe early 40s, you're thinking about creating wealth, moving up the corporate ladder. When you get into your 50s, 60s, and 70s, you're thinking about holding on to what you have.
Preserving wealth.
Preserving wealth. And I think what we're really seeing and starting to see now is this, you know, the great mass of the population has moved from their wealth creation years into their wealth preservation years. And I think that really does have implications for future growth.
All right, let's hear from our listeners. Lots more to dig into, gentlemen. Our number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. As we look at the economy in 2013, we'd love to hear from you. If, for example, you've had a hard time finding work, what's your situation? If you're an employer and you want to hire this year but you're feeling uncertain, tell us what you're feeling uncertain about. We want your own economic outlook for the new year. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. And Ross and Dennis, let's go to the phones now. And Dave's calling from Concord. Hi, Dave. Thanks for hanging on. You're on the air.
Hi, Laura. I manage people's investments, and many of my clients, most of them, I would say, are middle-income wage earners, and they're not retired yet. And they had a terrific lift with the decision by Congress and the president to deal with the fiscal cliff back on January 1st. And you can see it in the markets, but I can also see it when I talk with my clients that it's just good to see something done in Washington that's done on a collaborative basis. And I imagine the same thing's going to happen when we finally get over what's going to happen with the debt ceiling issue. But I think more and more we're going to be seeing here in New Hampshire what we're going to see nationwide, which is general stability of the economy for another 6 months and toward the end of the year. Some real signs of growth because the housing sector is likely to do well. We see houses being built. We see houses selling at a higher price. And I think over the year, that's going to really dig into people's pocketbooks and the pocketbooks of companies in New Hampshire, and they're going to start spending more money, and we'll see things really getting back somewhat close to normal by 2014.
Well, Dave, good to hear a positive economic forecast there. Ross Cattell, what do you think?
You know, if you read the New England Economic Partnership forecast, Dave just gave it, because we're saying 2013 is going to be kind of a stabilizing and then growth towards the end of 2013. And then 2014, we're going to see some pickup for the same factors that Dave recognized or spoke about. And so what we're talking here, some of what we're highlighting is why New Hampshire won't do stronger than the national average. And that the reality, though, and I appreciate Dave's comments, is after 4 years of economic decline and stagnation, people are used to coming out a little stronger in a recovery period than even Dave is suggesting that we will. And it is be positive when the housing market improves. But Dennis's forecast for housing in New Hampshire is that the New Hampshire housing market isn't going to be as strong as Vermont or Massachusetts.
Right.
So I think it's important to recognize the next 4 years are going to be better than the last 4 years as far as the economy is concerned.
Again, you know, Dave's, I think, has got it right. We'll probably, if there's going to be any source of strength in the economy going forward, it's probably going to be a housing-led recovery.
Really? And, a housing-led recovery after a housing-led recession, right?
Yeah. And again, you know, you know, we've talked on this show a number of times about the housing bubble, and I don't think you can underemphasize how important that is, both as a source of the big increases in the economy prior to the Great Depression, probably the cause of the Great Depression, and as an explanation as to why this economy has had so much trouble gaining traction. It's simply because housing hasn't really been able to lead, and in most recoveries, that's really what you see. That's one of the first sectors to start to take off. That hasn't happened this time. We are seeing signs in New Hampshire now that housing seems to have bottomed. Housing prices for 2012, we've only got data now through November, but they look like they've stabilized, at least if you look at the median home selling prices. Sales numbers have been very good, up about 20%. In 2012 compared to 2011. What the next thing we should start to see is the stability on the construction side, that we will start to see more housing starts in 2013 than we saw in 2012 or 2011. And according to the New Hampshire Housing Finance Authority, which tracks these things, foreclosures seem to have stabilized as well. All of those things are good indicators of, you know, some strength in the housing market and a housing-led recovery going forward. But again, I think it's going to be a slow recovery. It's not going to be the kind of rapid economic growth that we're used to seeing in New Hampshire.
Well, Dave, thanks for that call. And again, the number, if you want to join us with your own 2013 economic outlook, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org, or you can post a comment on our Facebook page or on the Exchange page at nhpr.org. Again, the number for you to join us with your thoughts, questions, comments about the New Hampshire and New England economy in the new year is 1-800-892-6477. And Ross, on that front, New England, I think the forecast that the partnership put out actually had Vermont leading the pack in many of these indicators, which I have to say, given the many years we've been looking at this, it's often New Hampshire leading the pack or sometimes Massachusetts leading the pack. I don't recall Vermont being the leader.
Right, and as we found in the New England Economic Partnership Conference, Vermont and New Hampshire are pretty competitive. The state economists, Jeff Carr from Vermont and Dennis in New Hampshire, they like to be out front and say their state has the forecast for the strongest economy. And I know when I visit our colleges up along the Connecticut River Valley, there's some healthy competition across state lines. I mean, Vermont is a smaller economy than New Hampshire. It's heavily reliant on the manufacturing front on a few pretty large manufacturers that have done pretty well lately, benefiting from some exports and some contracts. I think the IBM plant, Green Mountain Coffee, has done very well recently. The ski areas have right now are getting quite a bit of investment, including foreign investment. Vermont's been an attractive state for a variety of reasons for Canadian investment. And the housing market, very different than in New Hampshire and some of the other New England states, because Vermont didn't go through the same bubble, starting, the big decline 2006, 2007. Because, to a certain extent, because Vermont had more restrictive policies with regards to housing development. So they didn't have that speculative market in the mid-2000s, and they didn't have that bust. And right now, there's not an oversupply of housing. And there's a stronger housing market in Vermont. So those reasons in a small economy add up. And Vermont has the third, I think it's the third or fourth lowest unemployment rate in the nation, and lower unemployment rate now than New Hampshire. So Vermont has a good economy relative to the U.S. average. Also, in the New England region, Massachusetts has had a stronger recovery from the recession than New Hampshire. And as you might remember, after the tech bust in the early 2000s, which was the previous recession to the Great Recession of 2008, Massachusetts took a long time. It was one of the slowest states in terms of recovering the jobs lost in the tech bust. And now it actually has a stronger economy with regards to improving unemployment and more particularly growth in employment compared to New Hampshire. Unfortunately, for a lot of areas in Massachusetts, that growth is concentrated in the greater Boston-Cambridge area around the tech industry, very, very strong, and also the biotech industry there. So it's Massachusetts and Vermont right now have stronger economies than New Hampshire.
Wow. Well, let's take another call, gentlemen. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Give us your own economic outlook for the new year, 1-800-892-6477. In Hopkinton, Dennis is on the line. Hi, Dennis. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Greetings, folks. So I'm very concerned about the U.S. economy with our debts and what we're doing with our currency, and I think it's going to be a very bad year for the U.S. as a whole. But do you think that if people are just generally having to spend less, it could be very good for New Hampshire, and that people will choose to vacation closer to home here in New England rather than flying farther afield?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Dennis. And it's interesting to me, Dennis and Dave both mentioned the national economy and all the uncertainty around it. Go ahead, Dennis.
Right. Well, again, I think tourism in New Hampshire is the second largest employer, export-based employer in the state. So, anything that helps tourism does help the economy. Manufacturing, by the way, is the biggest export-based employer in New Hampshire. We're getting good reports this year from the ski areas. They say that, you know, again, probably because there's snow in people's backyards in New England, they think more about skiing and taking advantage of what we have to offer here in New Hampshire. So that, I think, is a good thing. I just want to segue on one little thing that Ross said about Vermont. Vermont also didn't do as much subprime lending as New Hampshire did.
And we didn't do as much as many other states.
And you can almost see there's a direct correlation between the amount of subprime and problem lending that states did compared to where they are now. I mean, Vermont housing prices rose about 6% in the peak and then fell by about 6%. New Hampshire housing prices, because we had more credit available, rose about 20% and declined about 20%. So again, I keep coming back to the housing bubble, but it's a really important part of this story, and it's one that people often forget to talk about.
Do you want to jump in there, Ross?
Yeah, well, I was going to respond to Dennis, our caller,
sure,
who was less optimistic about the U.S. economy than our previous caller, Dave, was. And really, the major factor in the short-term New Hampshire economic outlook is the U.S. economy. So if Dennis's scenario, our caller Dennis's scenario about the U.S. economy holds true, that there's difficulty in Washington come to some resolution about spending, and consumer and business confidence remains low, the New Hampshire economic outlook is for a continued stagnating economy. It's tough for New Hampshire to break away from the pack, and maybe some increased tourists from New York and Massachusetts and close by states of people who normally would go to Europe or to California, but because of the weak economy stay, that's not going to significantly help the New Hampshire economy.
No, I would think the other big unknown or problem area for us in New England and for the rest of the country, frankly, is what happens in Europe this year. This could be a really interesting year for, the whole European debt crisis, the sovereign debt crisis.
Gosh, we've been talking about that forever. Huh?
Well, again, we're into the fourth year now of the initial set of crises, and we're into the second year now of the solutions by the European central governments to try to solve the problem, the sovereign debt problem. And it's not because we haven't had a lot of smart people thinking about it. There are smart people in Europe, thinking about these things. The fundamental problem is, the interests of individual countries versus the overall financial unification of that, what would be the largest economy in the world.
Here's a question from a caller who couldn't stay on the line, who said, perhaps Vermont and Massachusetts are doing better now than New Hampshire because New Hampshire didn't fall as far as they did. That's a really good point. What do you gentlemen think?
Well, again, I think that's the point we were making earlier, that we didn't see as much of a reliance on the real estate-led economy as in Florida and California and a lot of other states where we've seen bigger declines in housing prices than in New Hampshire.
All right. More of your calls after a short break. Dennis, thanks for that one. The number for you to join us with your 2013 Economic Outlook is 1-800-892-6477.
This is NHPR, where support comes from you, our members, and from New England College School of Graduate and Professional Studies, now offering 7 MBA programs on-site and online. Program details and registration at nec.edu. And Plymouth State University, offering graduate courses in Plymouth and Concord to meet the needs of working professionals throughout the state. Plymouth.edu/graduate. Good morning, it's 9:40. This is NHPR.
Our goal is to leave a living legacy to organizations we love and respect.
Woolsey Conover of Holderness, New Hampshire, is a lifetime listener of public radio.
While we are here on this earth, it's our privilege to support them. And when we depart, we will have the joy and satisfaction of knowing that our support goes on. That's why we have established a state plan that includes New Hampshire Public Radio.
For more information about NHPR's planned giving program, visit nhpr.org.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, it's an update on New Hampshire's economy for 2013. We're also looking at the rest of New England. Join us. What's your own economic outlook for the new year? How well do you think you'll be doing personally? What's your guess for how strong the state's overall economy will be? And if you're an employer, do you expect to hire this year or not? Again, our number 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. And Ross Cattell, Dennis DeLay, before we go back to our listeners, I did want you, Ross, to pick up on Dennis's point just before the break about Europe. Again, it seems like it's been a mess for a long time. We keep talking about it. It's all the way across the pond. Why are we still concerned about this thing?
Well, we're concerned about it in New Hampshire because Europe, in terms of an export market for our companies, and with regards to Europe being an investor in New Hampshire, is very significant. We're in the top 10 among states in a percentage of our foreign direct investment as a percentage of gross state product here in New Hampshire. Our exports had been increasing going into the recession. It was a source of growth. And a lot of our firms, particularly our advanced manufacturing firms, are world-class companies that are very much serving global markets. So when global markets weaken, their sales weaken, and it's less likely they're going to add employment in New Hampshire. Again, I differ a little bit from Dennis with regards to Europe. My sense is that compared to a year ago, compared to 2 years ago, there's some signs of improving. Maybe stabilization would be a better word in Europe, with Germany taking the lead, and also signs that that Britain is playing a more substantive role on the continent.
Although Britain isn't part of the Eurozone.
No, it's not part of, but that's why I say not part of the EU, but part of the continent, the European economy. And it's interesting with Canada being a neighbor that the head of the Canadian bank moved over to head the bank in Britain because of the Canadian had a real positive experience with regards to their banking sector over the course of the last decade compared to Europe. And now Britain is drawing on that experience, which is quite unusual, but it really, I think it's telling for about Canada. And also about what Britain's looking to do. So I think the European situation is more stable, and it could turn from a negative to a positive. Another indication of that is the European stock market over 2012 outperformed the U.S. The U.S. had a good market. The S&P 500 went up about 7%. And the European market, if you looked at a similar index in Europe, it was stronger than the U.S.
That surprises me.
So there
me,
is
given
some confidence.
Yeah,
if investors were looking to invest in 2012, they did pretty well investing in a down market, Europe, as it improved.
Our number again on the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. We're looking at the economic forecast for 2013. You can join us with an email, exchange@nhpr.org, or call 1-800-892-6477. Another call. This is Andrea from Alton. Hi, Andrea. You're on the air. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. I was wondering, how will the fiscal cliff affect our graduating college students going into the workplace?
Yeah. And feeling a little uncertain, Andrea, or not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Dennis, thanks a lot for the call, Andrea. This is a big issue, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it as graduation gets closer to the job environment.
Well, again, it's unemployment rates are a little bit higher than you normally would expect in a recovery year, either whether we're talking about New Hampshire or whether we're talking about the U.S. So it has been difficult for people graduating from college, and frankly for people who have been in the workforce a little bit longer than that, to try to find employment. The real issue is not that companies don't want talented people. They do. The real issue is whether companies feel that they are in a position to hire, given some of the other uncertainties that we've been talking about in the last hour. I can tell you that there's a tendency to sort of think about business people as, hiring and firing people willy-nilly and maybe not being really concerned for their employees. In fact, most people are very concerned for the people that they employ, and also there's an incentive, I think, for employers not to hire, because they don't want to fire somebody again at the same time. It's also, a new employee is a significant investment for people.
Sure, all the training.
In terms of training, but also in terms of pensions if they offer that, and health care.
Right, and there is uncertainty about the health care bill, Ross, and what kind of impact that'll have on
right,
the business.
I'm going to go back to the question Andrea had about the outlook for college graduates. What we're finding in the community college system is our graduates with specific skills that businesses are desiring are doing very well in the job market. Advanced manufacturing skills, advanced machine tooling, those in the tech sector with software and programming skills, students who graduate who could write applications. The tech sector is looking to hire people, and there's not enough people with software engineering degrees. Advanced manufacturing is looking to hire people, but they have to understand computer and numerically controlled machining, and so therefore have technical skills and specific skills related to machine tooling. So there is this sense that if you have the right skill set, the right education, you can get employed. And for overall job market for college graduates, it is going to be better in the spring of 2013 than it's been for the spring of 2012 or the spring of 2011.
It
has an improved market.
I know we've talked about this before, but I think with the other thing, and I know Ross agrees with me on this, I think the other thing we have to do is we have to do a better job of telling people that are coming into college and thinking about what majors to pursue, getting them to understand that, simply just getting a college degree isn't quite enough, that you have to look at marketable skills when you come out of college as an important part of your plan. If you look at the number of STEM degrees, so science, technology, engineering, and math degrees in New Hampshire that are awarded from the community college system, it's about a third. That includes nursing and healthcare. If you look at the college system, the four-year college system, it's about 20 to 25% of the people who graduate from that system graduate with a degree in science, technology, engineering, and math, and it's about the same for the graduate program. Frankly, that's not enough. And I think that we really have to, do a better job of explaining to people that are coming in and spending that amount of their funds to try to get a four-year degree or even a two-year degree, what kind of education is really more marketable going forward.
Our phone number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Andrea, thanks for that call, and good luck as you reach that point in your own life. Give us a call. Tell us what your own economic outlook is for the new year. 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. And gentlemen, I want to return to the conversation we had earlier about New Hampshire versus the rest of the nation versus New England. As you both said, not pulling out of the recession as quickly as we might have done in the past. Dennis, I'm going to quote you directly. You say the Granite State's economy, more so than the rest of the nation these days, is mired in uncertainty, and the so-called New Hampshire advantage is withering away. Let's hit that right on the head. What are you trying to say there? Withering away.
Well, a lot of the things that drove New Hampshire forward in the past couple of decades seem to have run their course. And again, we're talking about migration into the state, which has slowed. The educational, median age of the state is getting older and older. And as I said, we're moving from those wealth creation years into the wealth preservation years. And because of the slowdown in migration, we're not getting as smart as fast as some of the other areas of the country, like the Rocky Mountain states. And even New York and New Jersey seem to be increasing in educational attainment faster than
so
New Hampshire is.
In this view, then, the New Hampshire advantage, Dennis, is demographics and education. It has nothing to do with our tax status as a very low tax state.
Well, that's a part of it. I mean, I think...
is that still a selling point? Does that still help us out?
It still helps when you think about small business creation. Small business people in particular have to rely on their own resources in order to move forward and create a business and create jobs. And so I think the fact that we haven't had and don't have still statewide sales tax, statewide income tax makes New Hampshire
a little bit more attractive on the margin compared to some other states. It's probably a little bit – and I think it doesn't just stop there. It's easier to create a business. Our regulatory environment, I think, is a little bit more friendly here than some of the other states around us. That all stands us in good stead. But I think primarily it has been demographic change primarily and educational attainment, which have really driven the state forward. And those things are not exactly reverse, but they are not the tailwinds that they once were. They're becoming headwinds.
And the tax status isn't enough to counter that.
I don't think so. No.
I can see you're wanting to jump in there, Russ.
Yes, yeah. Yes. There's something driving the demographic advantage that New Hampshire's had over the three decades. And part of that has been the so-called tax advantage for the state of New Hampshire, being one of only two states without a broad-based income or sales tax, the other being Alaska. And compared to New York State and Massachusetts, I'll just highlight those. New Hampshire was very attractive for individuals who are entrepreneurial, wanted to start their business, were going to be high income earners. They moved to New Hampshire, and part of that was the absence of a broad-based income or sales tax. So you have to think about what drives the demographics. In addition to the tax advantage, driving the demographics is the quality and character of life of New Hampshire. New Hampshire is a great place to raise a family, high-ranking, safe state, healthy state. Recreational opportunities. So those are economic assets then that drive the demographics along with the relative cost advantage of New Hampshire. And my argument is those are going to be strong. Those are going to keep people here. That's going to bring businesses here. That's going to bring skilled workers. But we have to complement that dynamic with investing in our own and making sure. I think we have an opportunity here with our strong community college system, our university system, and our private educational institutions. And because of our size, relatively small size, and our leadership in the State House, of really tightening that alignment between industry needs and our education systems and making sure, as Dennis says, that increasing number of our graduates of all our educational institutions have that STEM degree, high-quality science, technology, engineering, math, and that will help drive our economy, and that will help maintain the New Hampshire advantage.
You know, I don't disagree that New Hampshire has a lot of advantages now and that, you know, again, I would expect maybe slightly above average compared to the U.S. growth in New Hampshire going forward. It's just not going to be as vigorous as we've seen in the past. I mean, and again, we talked a little bit about healthcare earlier. New Hampshire has a relatively expensive healthcare system, but we have a very high quality healthcare system.
And that's another big economic sector.
And that's going to be, and well, you know, this year, 2013 is going to be the year where we prepare for 2014, which is the full implementation of the Affordable Care Act. So there's going to be a lot of discussion, maybe for another show or another two shows.
another dozen shows.
There's going to be a lot of discussion about healthcare this year in New Hampshire.
And possibly an economic boost for the healthcare sector anyway, Dennis.
Possibly.
More money,
I think there,
more
there are some other things pushing the healthcare sector the other way, like cost containment, like discussions around the state budget regarding Medicaid enhancement tax and the disproportionate share. Some of the other things that have happened in the last year have tended to put some downward pressure on rising healthcare costs. But again, I think, you know, there'll be discussion this year about whether Medicaid gets expanded to new populations, how New Hampshire or if New Hampshire is going to establish its own health insurance exchange. All of that's going to happen this year, and so there's going to be a lot of talk about healthcare this year.
Well, and as Dennis has talked about the demographics no longer in our favor, Ross, you've said it's a time to invest in our own, to educate our own, so to speak. And yet, you know better than anybody, both higher education and the community college system have taken it on the chops lately. So are we really making those investments?
Well, lately was the last budget cycle, and there were a lot of factors contributing to the last budget cycle, the political composition of the legislative body, also the very weak economy that affected the revenue structure.
And then the stimulus package went away.
So there's all these factors. So I don't think it wasn't a longer-term trend. And I think, you know, we at the community college system and the university system of New Hampshire have a strong case to make that investment in these institutions is an investment in New Hampshire's economic future, and it helps individuals obtain economic opportunity or advance economic opportunity. it helps our businesses, because without skilled workers, businesses can't compete. And without businesses and without employment and profitable businesses, our economy is not going to be strong. Mm. So again, we have to look at in a tight budget year. We're going to have a tight budget discussions. You have to see where the return on investment is best. And what we're focused on here is New Hampshire's economic future. And that's what our discussion has been about.
I just want to tie that comment into what we were talking about at the beginning of the hour and the fiscal cliff and austerity at the national level. What that really means is we're not going to be able to look to the federal government for help in some of the things that Ross is just talking about, investing in ourselves and investing in our infrastructure, you know, in an environment where at the national level we're more and more concerned about austerity, more and more concerned about trying to tighten our belts, either raise taxes or lower spending, New Hampshire's pretty much going to be on its own this time.
Yeah, well, and getting back to that, because we talked about it at the beginning, as you said, Dennis, a couple callers talked about all the political uncertainty and how that affects businesses and employers here in New Hampshire. More showdowns over fiscal issues are ahead. In just a few months, I think you mentioned, Ross, the federal debt ceiling will be hit. If not raised, the government will be unable to pay its bills. A lot of journalists are saying, Ross, that this is just the first of many cliffs that we're going to butt up against. How's that going to affect our economy here in the state and here in New England?
Well, you know, and nationally, because it's not just the New England or New Hampshire story. It's business confidence and consumer confidence. And until that confidence kicks in a little bit, businesses are not going to hire again, and consumers are not going to spend at levels that will help stimulate the economy. So the discussions, the political discussions, affect economic outcomes. It affects confidence, and the ability to compromise in the New Hampshire State House in Washington really affects the economy. And I think there's increased recognition when you see the way that Wall Street reacts to a temporary solution to the fiscal cliff at the end of 2002. It just, there maybe will click in with some of the political leaders, particularly the polarized political leaders, that there will be some benefits. There are significant benefits from some compromise.
Yeah, I do wonder how much sort of the big business muckety-mucks, you know, the Chamber of Commerce and National Association of Manufacturers and so forth, Ross, are going to D.C. and saying, look, guys, figure it out. Guys and gals, excuse me.
Right, right. But they feel like they've been doing this for at least the last couple of years and it hasn't worked.
All right. Well, I'm sure we'll be talking again in the new year. Thank you both very much for coming in. Ross, good to see you.
Yes, thank you very much, Laura.
Ross Cattell, Chancellor of the New Hampshire Community College System and Vice President and Forecast Manager for the New England Economic Partnership. Dennis, always a pleasure. Thank you for being here.
Great to be here, Laura. Thanks for having me again.
Dennis DeLay, New Hampshire Forecast Manager for the New England Economic Partnership and an economist at the New Hampshire Center for Public Policy Studies. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields, and I'm Laura Kanoy.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed any part of today's program, listen to The Exchange anytime at nhpr.org.
I'm Laura Kanoy, and tomorrow on The Exchange, our earlier conversation on organic food on trial. A Stanford study found little evidence of health benefits from organic foods, challenging organic's reputation as the healthy alternative to conventional agribusiness. But others said researchers did find some vital differences around pesticide levels, and that the study was too narrow, ignoring vital environmental and ethical reasons for eating organic. Join us for The Exchange tomorrow morning at 9 and again at 8 p.m. here on NHPR.
The Diane Reem Show, next at 10.